Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lawmaster's Law of God program. The content of this program is intended for the sitting Pope and all other Gentiles. God has been called or summoned by the papacy to come and reign over the Gentiles. God has legislative power. The Gentiles are to conform to God's law. The Gentiles are to believe in God. The Gentiles are to receive the word of God. The Gentiles are to conduct themselves according to the word of God. The Gentiles are to respect, honor, and obey God. On the order of Psalm 9, verse 10, the Gentiles are to put their trust in God. They are to trust in the living God. The living God's name has been declared on this program. Episode dated 6/27/2010. Psalm 119 is the papacy's gift to God. The gift is a tribute to God. In the tribute, there are many statements which must be fulfilled by the sitting Pope. The sitting Pope is subordinate to the glorious law of God. All Gentiles are subordinate to the glorious law of God. All Gentiles are to respect and obey the law of God. The fact that the God that the Bible speaks so much about, the God that the papacy has given so much detail of in the AVB, has actually heeded the papacy's call and come and made himself known. That is big, big news. The coming of the mighty God, as he is called in Isaiah 9:6 and Isaiah 10:21, is historic. His work is monumental, and knowledge of his coming should be met with gladness and celebration. It is obvious that all the episodes of this program are related. One builds on the other. God is, in these episodes, setting forth the doctrine of God. Three statements on the doctrine of God, Titus 2:10, 1 Timothy 6:1, and Romans 1:20. They, the servants of God, that is to say the Gentiles, may adorn, outfit, equip themselves with the doctrine of God, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed, so they, the servants of God, are without excuse. In this episode, God will present the papacy's solemn promises made to God. He will enter into the papacy's secret scheme to assassinate the sitting Pope's master. You don't want to miss the 50 obvious Bible statements on God and the conclusion drawn from them. Questions of interest, John 2:4, what have I, the sitting Pope, to do with thee, God? Or, what is God to the sitting Pope? God is the sitting Pope's master. God is the sitting Pope's Lord and God. That is declared in the book of John. I hope to get to that passage in this program. Okay? So, the sitting Pope is, according to the law of God, God's servant. And we also saw that last week as we listened to the lecture on Psalm 119, which is a tribute a tribute to God. The tribute is a gift. The papacy's gift to God. The papacy's tribute to God. Psalm 119. In that psalm, the Pope declares again that he is, rather the papacy declares, that the sitting Pope is the servant of God. Okay? Ecclesiastes 8:4, the papacy says to God, "What doest thou?" As I stated earlier, I am setting forth the doctrine on God. Acts 17:19, may we, the sitting Pope and the Gentiles, know what this new doctrine whereof thou, God, speakest is. What is this new doctrine? Well, if we look at Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to turn to it, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's see here. Ecclesiastes 1, and we'll start reading with verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? That's a question I hope to answer on this program. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Okay, so what is this new doctrine? First of all, is this doctrine that I'm setting forth new? Well, it is not new in the sense of it has just come about. And that is obvious in that this doctrine has been in the AVB, the Authorized Version, for all these many years, that the Authorized Version has been out in the public arena. All right? So, the doctrine itself is as old as the Authorized Version Bible. Now, it may be said that it is new in this sense, in that it is just now, it is at this time, in these last days, being brought forth. The doctrine of God is now in these last days being brought forth and being focused on. It may be said that it is new in that sense, okay? But obviously, as I said, the doctrine itself has been in the AVB for all the years that the AVB has been out, okay? So, is there anything new? The Bible says there is no new thing under the sun, but there is a new thing to the doctrine of God. There is a new thing to the doctrine of God. The name of God. The doctrine of God has been here in the Bible, but there was no name. There was no personage, no person, no particular person that had been declared God in the Bible, so that the name of God is not in the Bible, but the name of God is talked about in the Bible. If we turn to Psalm 9, verse 10, Psalm 9, verse 10 says this, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Now, those are not just empty, blank, vain words. Those words are said to God. Those words are said to me. "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Now, the name of God has been declared on this program in a previous segment or episode. So you can go back 4 or 5 episodes and look up the name of God as it has been declared on that episode, during that episode. Okay? So the name of God is new. All right? To the people. The name of God is that which is lacking with regard to the doctrine of God in the AVB. Okay? Now that name has been furnished. That name has been put forth. That name has been declared by God. And again, this scripture says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Okay? So, the doctrine has been with us a long time. The name of God is a new thing, a new addition to the doctrine of God. All right? And the question is asked, may we know what this new doctrine is about? Or what? Let's put it like this. May we know what this doctrine is about? Okay? Yes, you may know. The Gentiles have permission to know about this doctrine. They have permission to hear this doctrine, receive this doctrine, as stated in Acts chapter 11, verse 1. The Gentiles had also received the word of God, and in their receiving of the word of God, they received the name of God also, which has been provided by God himself. They that know God's name will put their trust in God. Okay? All right. Let's see here. 1 Kings 8:27. Will God indeed or truly, legally dwell on the earth? Of course, the answer to that is yes, and I do have scriptures for that. I don't have them at this moment in front of me. Statements of interest. Job 19:26, I, the sitting pope, see God. I see God. 2 Job 37:6 and Job 38:26. Be thou God on earth where no man is. So God is ordered to be on the earth. On the earth. With the question, will God indeed or truly legally dwell on the earth? Yes. God has been ordered to be on the earth. And the other part of that is where no man is. No man, as I have said on this program time and time again, is a nickname the papacy uses with regard to God. No man is a nickname for God in the Bible, in the AVB, in the Authorized Version Bible. Okay? Be thou on earth where no man is. That is a direction for God, intended for God to receive. God has received that direction. God is on the earth where no man is. And remember, no man is a nickname for God. Okay? On the earth. So that question is answered. Will God indeed truly, legally dwell on the earth? Yes. On the earth, where? Where no man is. No man being a nickname for God. All right? Let's get on with the promises then. The promises of God, the papacy promises made to God, the papacy's promises for God, the papacy's promises intended to be received by God. All right? We have Numbers 30, verse 2. And we find these words here. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Okay, the crucial statement in that verse is this: he shall not break his word. The papacy's word shall not be broken. The pope shall not break the word, his word. Each pope has been an inheritor of Bible content. Okay? Each pope is responsible for Bible content. The sitting pope is not to break his word. And what is his word? His word is that which is inscribed in the Bible, in the AVP. Okay, and this regard is in regard to the promises the papacy has made to God. He shall not break his word. Okay, here are some promises that the papacy has made to God. God has the promises from the papacy in his hand. Okay? John 13:33, so now I say to you, promise one, Isaiah 25:1, I will exalt thee. Two, Exodus 3:12, certainly I will be with thee. These are promises made to God, so keep that in mind. The papacy is doing the talking. Certainly I will be with thee, and the head of the papacy, of course, is the sitting pope. Papal statements made in the Bible are made with regard to the sitting pope, okay? You have statements made as though the sitting pope made the statement, okay? Certainly I will be with thee. Papacy is talking to God. Mark 12:14, Psalm 43:3. Acts 15:16, Master, we are talking to God, we know that thou art true. O send out thy light and thy truth, and I, the sitting pope, will establish it or set it up. The sitting pope is to set up God's information. The sitting pope is to set up the truth that has come from God. All right. Promise 4, Job 33:12, I will answer thee. The sitting pope is obligated by the law of the authorized version to answer God, as I am answering the papacy myself. Okay? I will answer thee. All right. Promise 5, John 16:16, John 14:18, Romans 14:24, 3 John 14. Ye shall see me. I am to see the sitting pope. I will come to thee. The sitting pope vows to, the papacy vows the sitting pope will come to me. We shall speak face to face. Next promise, Hebrews 12:14. I have this here, no man shall see the Lord. Okay, and I'll probably expound on that statement later, and not on this broadcast, but at another time. Next one, Isaiah 41:13, 1 Chronicles 17:10, I will help thee, the papacy says to God. I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that I will build thee an house. And it has here that the Lord, all caps, will build thee an house. Next promise, Exodus 20:19. Speak thou with us, and we will hear. The papacy says to God, speak to the Gentiles. Those are the papal office included. And the promise is, we will hear. All right? So, I expect to be heard of those of the papal office, the sitting pope, and all of the Gentiles. The promise is that they will hear me. Speak and I speak, and they will hear. Next promise, 1 Kings 19:20, 2 Kings 4:30. I will follow thee, and that follow means accept the authority of, obey. The sitting pope is to follow, accept the authority of, and obey God. I will follow thee. I will not leave or forsake thee. Next, promise Mark 14:31, Joshua 1:5. I will not deny thee in any wise. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These are solemn promises the papacy has made to God. Next, Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Keep in mind, the papacy is talking directly to God, saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Next, Ruth 3:11, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. These are very important words. Psalm 22:26, your heart shall live forever. What is my heart? Heart speaks of the content of my writings. Your heart shall live forever. Next, Psalm 145, verse 6. I will declare thy greatness. Next promise, Psalm 9:1 and Psalm 73:28. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Isn't that something? The papacy has promised God to show forth all his marvelous works. And here is a permit that the papacy has for itself. I may declare all thy works. The sitting pope is permitted to declare or reveal all the marvelous works of God. Next promise, Judges 15:13, Job 11:18. We, the sitting pope and his people, will not kill thee. Thou shalt be secure. Next, Proverbs 8:7, John 17:17. My mouth shall speak truth. Thy word is truth. The papacy says to me, with regard, the sitting pope's mouth shall speak truth, and that truth is defined here to be the word of God. It says to me, to God, thy word is truth. Next promise, 2 Samuel 7:11, 2 Samuel 7:27, Genesis 20:15. The Lord, all caps, telleth thee that he will make thee an house. I will build thee a sure house. Dwell where it pleases thee. Next promise, Psalm 118:21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. The papacy promises to praise God. The sitting pope is to praise God. Next promise, 1 Samuel 28:10 and Psalm 91:10. There shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. This thing being the entire work of God, even this, what I'm doing here on this program, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. There shall no evil befall thee. Next, Acts 23:35, I will hear thee. The papacy promises God that the sitting pope will hear God. And we have this one, this promise here, Psalm 22:22, the papacy says to God, I will declare thy name to my brethren. I will declare thy name to my brethren. And brethren there, of course, means brothers, and that brother means fellow human beings. Actually, I will declare thy name to my brethren. Those are some solemn promises that the papacy has made to God. And the papacy, the sitting pope, is responsible for these things and is to see that these things are fulfilled. The law says to the sitting pope, thou shalt keep thy word. Okay? So, those are the promises. Not to say that though, that is all of them, but these are some promises the papacy has made to God. Okay? Solemn statements. Grave, serious statements. Okay? So, what we're seeing here is that there is much that the papacy is to do in response to this information coming from God, and in response to the doctrine of God, and in response to the glorious law of God. All right. Let's see, where do we go from here? We go to this. All right. Turn to, if those who have a book and can turn to it, I'm going to read a statement from Lamentations chapter 4, verse 18. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 18. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah, and that is Lamentations 4, 18. Says these words, they hunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. The crucial statement in that verse is that at the end, our end is come. What does that mean? I remind you of the call of God, the papacy's call of God, the papacy's call concerning God. And I've read that two or three times, I know, on this program. We know that the papacy has called God. The papacy has called God to come to earth, to come and to reign over them and the Gentiles. The papacy has called or summoned God to come and reign over them, those are the papal office, and all other Gentiles as well. God has done that. God has come. Now, our end is come. What is the word, what does the word end, E-N-D, mean here? What is desired or hoped for? What did they, the papacy, ask for in the call for God? What did they call God for? They call for God, and God has answered their call. The papacy's plan for a new world order is now in progress. The plan is in operation. God has come. God has answered the papacy's call. God has come to reign as the papacy has asked him to. And the Bible says he, God, must reign. All right. Luke 7:16, we find these words. 7:16, God has visited his people. Psalm 65:9 says, thou visitest the earth. Will God indeed dwell on earth? And we answered that question at the beginning of the program. Yes. God will dwell on earth where no man is. No man is a nickname the papacy has provided for me, a nickname the papacy has provided for God. Thou visitest the earth. God has visited his people. Acts 15:14. God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Now this is in the Bible, Acts 15:14. It is written in the past tense. It is now actually happening. God is here on earth. God is visiting the Gentiles. God is talking to the Gentiles, all Gentiles. All right? So we have God has visited his people. Thou visitest the earth. That statement is fulfilled. Both of them are fulfilled. God has visited his people. God is visiting his people. So that statement is being fulfilled. Thou visitest the earth. That is being fulfilled. I am here on earth. God is here on the earth. Acts 15:14, God at the first did visit the Gentiles. God is visiting the Gentiles. That's what this program is going out to all Gentiles. Those of the papacy office included, or the papal office are included in the term Gentiles. Acts 15:19, the Gentiles are turned to God. The Gentiles are turned to God. That statement must be fulfilled. Okay? And we have a question here. Job 31:14. What then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? Mm-hmm. Okay? What shall I do when he rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? There's a statement in 2 Corinthians 12:6, which says this, I will say the truth. There's another statement the papacy makes in the AV saying, before God, I lie not. Before God, I lie not. And here, 2 Corinthians 12:6, I will say the truth. In answer to the question, what then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? Isn't it something indeed that we are living in the day of God? Living in the day of God. And if I can find that passage there in Peter, and if I don't just get to it quickly, I won't worry about it on this program. All right. Okay. 2 Peter 3:12. 2 Peter 3:12. Let's start with verse 11. Let's verse 10. All right. Verse 10 of 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now that is a question. That is a question which started in verse 11. What has come to pass? The coming of the day of God has come to pass. the heavens, what does it say with the heavens? The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The heavens have not passed away with a great noise. Okay? And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements are not melting with fervent heat. Elements of wind, water, and all, they're not melting with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's not happening, people. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, no, we don't see that because they're not happening now. Now, okay? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, people look. The heavens are not on fire. They are not on fire. Okay? The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. The heavens are not dissolved. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's a question. Those things are not happening. What has happened? What has happened is this. The day of God has come. The day when God indeed dwells on the earth. The day when God visits the Gentiles. The day when God visits his people. That day has come, people. That has come to pass. Okay? The coming of the day of God. Put that down. That day has come to pass. We are presently living in the day of God. God has come in response to the papacy's summons. Okay? God has come. This is the time of the day of God on earth where no man is. Isn't that something? This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is marvelous news. And as I said at the beginning, these things call for gladness and celebration. Okay, the papacy asked, what shall he do when God rises up? He should do as he has said in his word. Rejoice in that that has come to pass and do the work that he is required by law to do. And keep his promises that the papacy has made to God. Keep its promises, the papacy's promises to God. All right? Here he says he will say the truth. I will say the truth. So it is on the papacy now. It is on the sitting pope now to say the truth. And what is truth? Truth is God has come. Truth is God is visiting the Gentiles. Truth is God is as declared on this program, and I believe this episode dated 6/27/2010. And he, the sitting pope, is God's servant. He, the sitting pope, is subordinate to and under the authority of God. I will say the truth. The sitting pope can say those things and attest to those things and act on those things. All right? As you know, the Bible is not a playbook. The Authorized Version is not a playbook. The Authorized Version, commonly called King James Version, is not a playbook. It's a law book. And I know the Gentiles know that. I know those of the papal office know that. All right? Although there are many people who have not known that fact, that the Authorized Version Bible is indeed a law book. And in it, we have the law of God. That's where the glorious law of God has come from, the Authorized Version. Okay? Before we go into this next section, which has to do with the Word of God, let's read the glorious law of God again, and it's found in Revelation 17:17. Revelation 17:17 says, "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will." The Gentiles are to fulfill the will of God. The papacy as a factor in fulfilling the will of God, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, the crucial part, as we know now, in that statement is this, as relates to the glorious law of God. The glorious law of God is the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the other part of that is in Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8, we have, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And it's the last statement in that verse, which is a part of the glorious law of God. The word of our God shall stand forever. And what does the word stand mean? Stand means to maintain a certain position, specified position. It means to be in defense of and support for. Also, stand means to remain valid, to remain valid. All right? The word of our God shall remain valid forever. The word of our God shall continue to be in support of, or shall continue to support and be in defense of God. The word of our God shall continue to be in defense of and support of the word, support of God. So let's put those two statements together to form the glorious law of God. The words of God shall be fulfilled. The word of our God shall stand forever. And what is the word that shall stand forever? This right here in Revelation 17, 17, the words of God shall be fulfilled. And, of course, now that's the glorious law. And, of course, the glorious law has many other parts to it. We got a taste of those parts last week or whenever it was that I read the tribute to God, the papacy's tribute to God, Psalm 119, where the papacy speaks about the servant of God. It speaks about the righteousness of God. It speaks about the commandments of God. It speaks about the word of God. And I think I said the righteousness of God and much, much more, of course. Okay. And we've already said that the law of God is a complex. Okay. And a complex is a thing having many parts, and those parts can be what? Viewed as a whole, viewed as forming a whole. So we talk of the whole law of God. We talk about the glorious law of God and the whole law of God being all the parts that go along with and under the glorious law. And what is the glorious law? The words of God shall be fulfilled. The word of our God shall stand forever. All right? So, the law of God is valid. Why? We know that from the last statement. The word of our God shall stand forever. Stand means what? One of the definitions, remain valid. Remain intact, remain valid. How long? Forever. So we get facts, we get conclusions, we get answers, okay, from the AZ. And all of these things are parts of the doctrine of God. Okay? And again, we've said that the doctrine of God has been in the AZ for as many years as the AZ has been in existence. Okay? And the only thing lacking in the doctrine of God in the AZB is the name of God, the person, the personality of God, the name. The identity of God. Now we have that identity. And they that know thy name, they that know God's name, are required by the law of God to put their trust in God, in the living God. That means the Gentiles are required to do certain things and to do, and the papacy as well, while God is yet alive on earth. That's why it says the living God, not the dead God, but the living God, while he is alive and can see it and experience it. The living God. Okay? We're talking about the glorious law of God. We're talking about the law of God. Okay? Now, let's get ready for the reading. We read the glorious law of God again today. Now, turn to Proverbs 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Okay. Proverbs 30, verse 5, and we find these words. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And we were speaking about the Gentiles putting their trust in him. They that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. That's a statement the papacy made to God. That's a statement the papacy has made to me. Okay? Every word of God is pure. That's what we want to focus on right now. Every word of God is pure. What does that mean? Well, the word pure means what? Unmixed, okay? Clear. All right? Let's just take those two definitions. Unmixed and clear. Every word of God is pure. Let's see. I'm going to read all of these. All of these are important. Every bit of the doctrine of God, the doctrine concerning God, is important. Every bit is good. Every bit is important. All right? Now, let's read some words of God. Every word of God is pure. The word of there can mean concerning or about. Every word about God is pure. Let's see. But first, let's read Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. I want to turn to that because I can't quote that one. All right. Philippians 4:8. We have, finally, brethren, and the papacy is talking. And notice that the papacy is talking to its brethren, okay, its people. And that's how I want to perceive the word brethren there and brothers, okay? The papacy's people. Who are the papacy's people? The Gentiles. Gentiles consist of men and women, all right? When the Gentiles conquered Africa, took over the land and all, conquered his people, scattered, enslaved his people. Men and women were involved. Gentile men and women benefited from the Gentiles' conquest of Africa and enslavement of its inhabitants. Both sexes benefited. Both sexes were involved in the enslavement matter. All right? None were exempt. All Gentiles participated in it. All Gentiles, all the people of the papacy participated in it. Now, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. There's that word again. Every word of God is pure. The papacy says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? Let's see. Every word of God is pure. And we also want to read Matthew 26:25, see what that says quickly. Matthew 26:25. All right, 26:25 says this. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Okay, I don't think that's what I wanted right there. Okay, 26:65. Let's see what 65 says. All right. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself right here. Okay. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good report, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are true. Think on these things, okay? And the focal point there is whatsoever things are pure. Let's see here. All right. Every word of God is pure. The first word of God is this. Ecclesiastes 5:2. God is in heaven. All right. Ecclesiastes 5. All right. Here we are. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Listen, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. That's a statement to me. The papacy is saying to me, God is in heaven, and you, God, are on earth. All right? God is in heaven, and God is also in earth, on the earth. All right? How is that? Easy, because what? The earth is in the heavens itself. The earth is a heavenly body. So everything on the earth is a heavenly thing. All right? I am a heavenly thing. This phone that I'm using is a heavenly thing. The internet is a heavenly thing. Your computer is a heavenly thing. Everything that is a thing is in heaven. And everything is a heavenly thing. Things on earth are heavenly things. All right? Things on Mars. Mars itself is a heavenly thing. The sun is a heavenly thing. We live in heaven, okay? All of us are in heaven. But God is in heaven, and thou, God, art on the earth. But the clear statement is this. God is in heaven. All right? Next statement, Daniel 2:28. There's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. 3, Isaiah 40:10, behold, the Lord God will come. All right, let's see here. Behold, the Lord God will come. Now God has come. That statement has come to pass. All right, God is also in the AZ called Lord, okay? Let's see here if I can find that statement. I do want to read this one. I think it's very important. Okay. All right. John 20:28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. The crucial statement there is four words, or five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 words, the last 5 words, My Lord and my God. In the questions of interest, one of the questions said, what have I to do with thee? What has the papacy to do with God? If the answer there is right here. God is the papal. God is the sitting pope's Lord and God. All right? The sitting pope is the servant of God. All right? The papacy is the servant of God. Okay? That's the answer. My Lord and my God. God is Lord, and God, of course, is God. Okay? All right, next statement. And don't forget, behold, the Lord God will come. Isaiah 40:10, mark that down too. That statement has come to pass. Okay, Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. This, which one? The one that was declared on this program maybe 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Check the archives where the name of, and find the one, get the one where the name of God is declared, okay? It shall be said in that they, lo, this is our God. Ooh, and time is about up. We have waited for him. Next statement, Psalm 94:1. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Psalm 77:14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Talking to God. Romans 3:4. Let God be true. That's a commandment. Psalm 57:3. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Next, Romans 2:16. God shall judge the secrets of men. Next, Daniel 4:2. Show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought. Revelation 10:7. The mystery of God should be finished, and it is. The name of God has been declared. Mark that one down. That statement has come to pass. That statement is fulfilled. Galatians 2:6. God accepteth no man's person. That statement is fulfilled as well. Mark that down. 2 Chronicles 20:15, the battle is not yours, but God. Remember Armageddon, the battle of that great day. Remember the message on that. We have Armageddon 1 and Armageddon 2. Check those check the archives for those two programs. Download them, study them, listen to them again. Ecclesiastes 3:17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Job 21:22. Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? Ecclesiastes 3:14, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he, God, had made, and behold, it was very good. Judges 9:7, God may hearken to you, and God has hearkened to the papacy's call. Mark that down also. That statement has come to pass. Exodus 19:19, God answered him by a voice. I am right now answering on this program. In each episode, I am answering the papacy, okay? Answering questions. I am just answering the papacy, all right? Mark that down. God answers him by a voice, and on this program, I'm using my what? Speaking voice to answer the papacy. I am at this time right now answering the papacy by means of my speaking voice. You know, I answer the papacy as well in my printed or written material, okay? The voice of my written material. Okay, Jonah 3:10, God saw their works. I have seen the works of the papacy in the Bible. I've seen the works of the curse, the iniquitous Passover law, the expectations concerning God, et cetera. I have seen the papacy's works. God saw their works. Mark that down, Jonah 3:10. It has come to pass. Isaiah 49, behold your God. Psalm 58:11, he is a God that judges in the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. Let me stop at 24. I'm going to continue to read the rest of these statements on the purity of the word concerning God after the streaming stops. But join us again next week for another program, and I will continue speaking on the doctrine of God. All right. Also, check the links. Check the links. Work the links. Click on both links there on Lawmaster's center column, on his page center column. There's the YouTube link, and there's the link where you can click on it to order and get your copy of the Book of God, the Law of God, All Things Are Demonstrated, Power of God. Work the links, people. Click on them and do whatever is necessary. It's necessary that you get a copy of the document, and it's necessary and good that you visit the YouTube link there and visit All right, so I'm going to continue with the reading of these statements on the purity of the Word of God. Now, you can see that these things are in the clear, all of these statements. They are clear statements concerning God. You know, there can be no argument about them. They are clear statements concerning God. That's why it says every word of God is pure, unmixed. I have pulled them out, and in this writing that I have in my hand, every word of God is pure, okay, unmixed, all right, clear, straightforward, by itself, okay? That's what the statement, every word of God is pure, means, all right? That the statements have been separated from other Bible whatever, you know what I'm saying? And the statements concerning God are all by themselves. They can be seen clearly. They are understandable. They are not mixed with any other thing, okay, that can taint or whatever, all right? Now I will continue the reading of the pure statements concerning God. 24. Okay. Let's see. Where did I stop? God saw their works. Behold, your God. Okay. Psalm 53:11. He is a God that judges where? In the earth. On the earth. He is a God that judges on the earth, all right? And he is a God that judges with regard and with respect to the earth, earth meaning their people, mankind, all right? 1 Chronicles 29:17, I know also, the papacy says, my God, that thou triest the heart. And I have tried, I have dug up the heart of the Authorized Version, and I have tried the heart and found in the heart of the Authorized Version these things that I present on this program. So mark that down as a fulfilled statement also. 1 Chronicles 29:17. Next, 1 John 3:20. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Okay, we're speaking about the heart of the Authorized Version. The papacy declares, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Okay, Job 36:26 and Job 33:12. God is great. God is greater than man. Okay, next, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. Faithful there meaning marked by or showing a strong sense of duty or responsibility. God is faithful. Next, Psalm 71:19. Thy righteousness, O God. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. Very high. High means most important, you know. All right? And the righteousness of God has to do with the things God has written, the things God teaches. All right? God's righteousness, they are right things, things that are pure, things that are honest, things that are true. All right? Next, Galatians 6:7, God is not mocked. Psalm 60:6, God hath spoken in his holiness. Again, mark that down as a statement that has been fulfilled. God has spoken concerning his holiness. Psalm 60:6, a fulfilled statement. All right? Deuteronomy 1:17, the judgment is God's. Job 36:22, behold, God exalteth by his power. Psalm 62:11, power belongeth to God. Psalm 75:7, God is the judge. He puts down one and setteth up another. God is the judge. He puts down one and setteth up another. Okay. All right. Now, what I'm going to do here is see if we have anyone on the line there. Let's see here. What do I do? Okay. Bear with me one moment as I get this thing set up. Okay, switchboard. And it is coming up. We're speaking about statements concerning God and showing that these statements are pure, meaning they are unmixed. They have been separated, taken from Bible content, and they stand by themselves alone, okay, free of anything that, you know, that is not supposed to be a part of them. Okay. All right. Caller zero, host. Okay. Don't see any callers. Let me go on with the reading. Okay. The judgment is God. God exalts by his power. Okay, Psalm 62:11. Power belongs to God. Power belongeth to God. Next, Psalm 75:7. God is the judge. He puts down one and setteth up another. Next, Revelation 22:5. The Lord God gives them light, or giveth them light. Light meaning knowledge. And I am doing that right now as I speak. The Lord God giveth them light, and I have been given light since I've been on this program. All right, so mark that down as a fulfillment. Revelation 22:5, the Lord God giveth them, the Gentiles, light, and not just the Gentiles, but whosoever will listen. The Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 17:17, the words of God shall be fulfilled. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The word of our God shall stand forever. Acts 11:1. The Gentiles had also received the word of God. Daniel 3:29. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Acts 23:9. Let us, the papacy speaks to its people, the Gentiles, saying, let us not fight against God. Okay, do you hear that? Let us not fight. The Gentiles are forbidden to fight against God. All right. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep his commandments. Revelation 14:7, fear God and give glory to him. Leviticus 25:17, thou shalt fear thy God. This is to the Gentiles. Now, all of this is for the Gentiles. Okay, all of it. Thou shalt fear thy God. John 9:24, give God the praise. Genesis 31:16, whatsoever God hath said to thee, do. Whatsoever God hath said to thee, do. Revelation 19:5, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Now, we've already identified the Gentiles as being the servants of God. That's the law, okay? By law, the Gentiles are the servants of God. Revelation 22:9, worship God. Revelation 19:6, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And the last one here, Genesis 50. Verses 24 and 25, God will surely visit you. Put that one down as a statement being that has been fulfilled or is being fulfilled. Genesis 50, verses 24 and 25, God will surely visit you. I am here, as I said earlier, and I'm visiting the Gentiles now. Even as I speak, I am here. All right? That's a statement that is being fulfilled even now as I speak. That statement has come to pass. Okay? What I have read, I read first the statement of definition, which is Proverbs 30:5. every word of God is pure. That is a statement of definition. It says something about all the other 50 statements that I read just now. All right? Every word of God is pure. All you heard me read was statements concerning God. That's what that statement, every word of God is pure, means and refers to. That the statements concerning God have been separated and, gathered together and put by themselves, okay, to where there's no admixture of something that is not to be a part of them, okay? All right? In the writings of God, every word of God is pure. I just read them. I just read 50 words of God to you, and everyone is pure. Nothing but that which is crucial, that which is pertinent to the matter, you know? So, and in those 50 statements, we get what? The story of God is told in the plain. And that's what I wanted to say. These statements are in the plain. We have come finally to the plain. That which is plain in Scripture, that which is apparent, that which is obvious. When you read your Bible and you see the statement, God is not mocked, okay, that's plain. It means just what it says. God is not to be led on and disappointed. Will the Gentiles lead God on and disappoint him? Well, if they do, that's a sin. All right? That's against the law. Because the law says God is not mocked. Okay? When you read your Bible and you see God has spoken in his holiness, are you, you know, that's why you should get the book, whether you get it from me or whether you get it from, you know, downloading, you know, and clicking on the link, the PayPal link. Okay? You should get the book of God. You should get the book of God. That way you'll see things clearly, you know, as clear as the 50 statements I just read a few minutes ago. But we have come to the plain, you know. Heretofore, I've dealt on things that were not obvious, just like things constituting the curse, things constituting the Passover law, things constituting the expectations concerning God, things constituting the infallible, undeniable signs of the presence of God on earth. All of those things were not obvious, okay? I pointed them out. They were not obvious to the reader. Now we have come to the plain. And you see that the important statements on the doctrine of God is in the plain. They're clear. They're plain. You can't miss them. You can't miss this. The Lord God giveth them light. When you read that, you see it. You know. And these things don't need interpretation. Now, words may need to be, you know, defined or something like that. But these things mean just what they think. All right? We have come to the plain, that which is plain in Scripture. When you see or hear, let us not fight against God. That means just what it says. That's in the plain. When you see, fear God and keep his commandments. That's plain. Okay? When you see, thou shalt fear thy God. When you see the Lord God reigneth. You know what I'm saying? What's my point? My point is that, again, we have come to the plain, that which is plain in Scripture. The doctrine of God is plain. Those things, those 50 statements that I read, they are not hid in Scripture. They are plain. They are apparent. They are obvious. The doctrine of God, then, it can be said, is obvious in the Bible. Why? Because it is in the plain. Those are not hidden statements. All of those statements that I read, all 50 of them, are concerning God. The only thing, as far as the AZB is concerned, that the name of God is not in the AZB. But now the name of God has been declared, and we now know the name of God. Therefore, we have no excuse. The Gentiles have no excuse. Okay? All right. Let's see here. Guest call in number 1-718-664-6262. Guest call in number 1-718-664-6262. Okay. All right. Call in if you have anything to say. Okay. That's the lecture for today, people. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the program, even those of you who do the downloads. And I do hope you get downloads from the program. As I said earlier, these are crucial matters. These are very important important things. We have come to the day of God. We are now in the day of God, as I said on the program, during the program. And that within itself is, it calls for gladness and celebration, to know the name of God, to have God on earth, the God that the Bible talks about so much, to have that God on earth, and he making his presence known. Wow, that is wonderful. That is a wonderful thing. The papacy has said to its people, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Do what you're supposed to do. Do the right. Do the right thing. And the right thing is to acknowledge God. The right thing is for the papacy to do what it's supposed to do. With regard to the promises made to God, the Gentiles do what they're supposed to do as far as honoring God, respecting God, keeping the commandments of God. God has put forth his law on a much previous program. Matter of fact, two of them, at least I know, I've done on this program, read on this program. So it's all about people doing what they are supposed to do by law. Now, this is the Gentiles' law, okay, the glorious law of God. That's the Gentiles' law. That's their own law. The papacy, that's their own law. And the papacy has acted in behalf of all Gentiles everywhere for all time. The glorious law of God is their law. These things, these 50 statements on God, are written by the papacy, by past popes, you know? And that's why I say the papacy, okay, is responsible for Bible content. The papacy is responsible for the crucial matter of Bible content. This is the Gentiles' law. The glorious law of God, the whole of the law of God is the Gentiles' law. Right? Now, my law, the law that God has written, can be read in his document, the book of the law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God, or you can go back and download the programs that dealt with those issues, you know. Okay? Or just listen to them. So right now, this is all about the papacy and its people, the Gentiles, keeping, following, observing their own law, which is and has to do with God, their own law, their own God, by their own admission in the AZB. And they cannot go back on any word that they have put in the AZB. Those words many other things, is a lawbook. And what does the law say? The word of our God shall stand. How long? Forever. That's a straightforward word. That's a clear word. That's a pure word. It's pure. It's not mixed with anything else. The word of our God shall stand. How long? Forever. Period. Can't be called back. It is said, so be it. All right? I've also asked on this program that the sitting pope come see me. The papacy has declared in the Authorized Version Bible that the sitting pope would and will come see me. So I bid him come. All right? I bid him keep the promises, observe the promises made to God. And all of you, study the material. All of this that comes out on this program is required reading for all Gentiles. It is required knowledge for all Gentiles. Okay? All right. So, without further ado, we don't have any callers showing. I can't click and get anything on. So, that wraps it up for today. That's a wrap. Join us again next week, hopefully at the same time, 10 o'clock, around about Tuesday or so, maybe Wednesday. Check Lawmaster's page to find out the exact time the program will air next Sunday. And join us again next week. Thank you.